Hi, everyone. I'm here today with Jen DiLorenzo, who is a psychotherapist. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Charlotte.
How's it going?
It's going as well as it can go.
Right. I know. It's a crazy time.
We haven't seen each other in a while.
I know. No, I'm excited. I know we had to take a little time before we started this to catch up. So tell me, first of all, a little bit about your background and how you came to be a psychotherapist.
Okay. So for some reason, I have a memory of being in eighth grade and knowing that I wanted to work with kids. Knowing I wanted to do something in the helping profession. So I went to school in Vermont and got a bachelor's in psychology and then decided to go get some experience in the field for a little while. And then I went to Simmons School of Social Work to get my master's degree. So I've been in the field for a long time and I definitely made the right choice.
Yeah, great. I know, because you're really good at what you do. So tell me a little bit how you work with clients, because you have a lot of really unique tools that you also bring into, you know, your master's, et cetera.
Yeah. So I really try to meet my clients where they're at when they come into the session, whatever their therapeutic goals are. And I use a number of different techniques to try to help people reach those goals. Find their way to health, wellness, and joy using different techniques, and really try to, you know, really try to make sure people are feeling healthy and feeling well and have techniques at their fingertips to use outside of the therapy session. So a couple of things that I use, which you're familiar with, is EFT tapping, which is a great way to clear out old blockages in our energetic bodies. The way to health is really through mind-body techniques. And I love tapping because it's so simple. You can learn it so quickly, as you know, and you get to take it with you and use it whenever you need it. So I weave EFT tapping in very regularly. Another technique I use is brain spotting, which brain spotting's motto is where you look affects how you feel. And in helping people create their recipe for health, wellness, and joy, which is really the secret sauce part, I really find that I need to give people techniques, but also sit with folks in the office to clear out old negative life events and traumas that haven't been processed that can get in our way, create old limiting beliefs, add to anxiety, depression, relationship issues, right? Just how we experience life and how well we're functioning on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I also weave in a lot of Qigong. I've been doing a lot of Qigong with people these days, lots of energy techniques during this time because people are needing it. And we're sitting in front of our computer a lot, which is also oftentimes pretty mind numbing for people, right? It's how we have to socially connect right now. It's right. Also how we have to work. And how we're getting access to all the stuff that we might normally have in our lives, like our yoga class and our Tai Chi class and our, you know, basketball games and all that kind of stuff that we're unable to do right now. So lots of Qigong, Donna Eden energy medicine techniques I'm giving to people too, because those are really quickies to help people get balanced.
Tell me about that a little bit.
So Donna Eden has been practicing energy medicine for many, many, many years and teaching lots of people how to use energy medicine techniques for wellness. So she had a medical crisis. She had MS and all kinds of other things happening with her. And she found energy medicine, which, again, pulls from all of these things, right? She's been doing it for a super long time, but it pulls from Tai Chi and Qigong and EMDR and tapping as well. So, yep. And I like that people can use some quickies throughout the day to get themselves balanced, again, especially during this time when people are feeling such a tremendous amount of stress. Mm-hmm. And like we had talked about, our old traumas and negative life events and things that we've been coping with already or maybe thought we were done with are really getting pressed on and inflamed right now. So we need as many techniques and practices as we can.
So can you walk through what that, you know, maybe some of the techniques look like? I'm familiar with brain spotting, but I think that, and EFT, I think the audience would like to hear, because what I love about you, to back up, is that it's so much more than a traditional talk therapy, that you bring these techniques in that also allow these people, you know, after a session to utilize the tools that you've brought to them during their daily lives, which is really critical as we're sitting in a space where a lot of people are feeling isolated, stressed, anxious, and uncomfortable, and many other things, you know, grief, et cetera. Yeah. So can you just walk us through what, you know, what brain spotting looks like a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So brain spotting, where you look affects how you feel. And basically, Dr. David Grant, who's a psychotherapist in New York City, kind of stumbled upon brain spotting when he was in an EMDR session, which uses eye movement to help people process unprocessed trauma. So basically what we would do if you were coming into a session is you would identify something that you wanted to work on that was causing some distress for you, and then give that a rating on a scale of 0 to 10, how much distress in the moment. And then if you can, if you have a connection to your body, which some people don't, depending on what their life experiences have been for them, notice where you might feel it in the body. And while you're in that place of activation, if you will, I would actually pay attention when you're telling your story to where your eyes are going in the room. And we can also use a little finger sweep, a nice slow finger sweep, to locate where your body might have some reflexive activity, right? So in other words, where might you feel that activation about your issue even more strongly? Mm-hmm. Okay? And then we would find that brain spot. And if it felt okay, allow that person just to, again, keep their eyes on that brain spot and visually process the trauma, meaning that they're looking at the spot, but their brain is processing the unprocessed trauma, and the body will reflexively release it. So the reflexes might look like someone feels hot or cold, or they might tear up, or they might have some twitching or muscle movement in the body. We swallow, we yawn, we blink, those sorts of things. So what I've described is a particular setup for brain spotting. What I love about brain spotting is that the processing piece does not have to be super painful. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be as comfortable as possible. And in the past couple of years, I've learned a number of different ways to set up a session where people can process on a spot that feels okay or neutral or pain-free or not emotional. Right. I can have people bump back and forth from what's called an activation point, right, where I really feel that issue coming up for me, or a spot that feels much more calming in the body. We can go back and forth. So there's tremendous flexibility with it to help people feel more comfortable.
And what I recall, a couple things that I just want you to clarify, is during brain spotting as a therapist client, there usually is not dialogue, correct?
There tends to not be a lot of dialogue. I'm playing around with that now a little bit too, but yes, because if this is your brain, this is Dan Siegel's hand model of the brain, which some people might be familiar with. The neocortex and prefrontal cortex is our problem-solving part of our brain. This is where we have access to language. Underneath that part of the brain is the subcortical region of the brain. And this is the area that houses the amygdala, which is your fight, flight, freeze, or flop response. That's what I call the alarm system. And it's here where our unprocessed trauma gets stored, and here where we do not have access to language. So brain spotting is seemingly getting into that area of the brain, and again, using reflexes to help release. And that subcortical region of the brain, too, is responsible for all of our emotional regulation, yeah. Right? So it makes a lot of sense.
Well, so talk to me, what I also think is really fascinating about it, when people hear the word trauma, though I think we're getting used to hearing that word and normalizing it a little more, give me examples, because it doesn't mean that it has to be something really, you know, we think of trauma, or I might think of trauma, and I think of something really horrific. Right. And yet trauma could be, you know, a relationship in my mind but I want you to explain, like with a parent growing up and your parent in your relationship, and that felt traumatic and a few incidences happened. So sure. Speak to that a little bit so the audience understands what that trauma means.
Yep, that's a great point. And in the field, sometimes we call it big T, little T, big trauma, little trauma. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I want to mention too, and Charlotte's such a great point, is that we all have a trauma reservoir. Mm-hmm. And we all have a different level in that reservoir at any given time, right? So a little situation that might happen that could send someone over the edge might not might be a blip on the screen.
Exactly. Yep.
It completely depends on our life experiences. So anything can be a trauma for us. We could have had one experience with a coach on the baseball field or the softball field, or the tennis court, where the coach spoke to us in a not so nice way in front of other people and shamed us.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be considered a trauma. Right. And that person, that same person could say, well, I had a wonderful childhood. I had a wonderful upbringing. I didn't have any issues, but mm-hmm. that could have had a great impact on them.
Yep.
Right. A fender bender, again, depending on the person, can be a big T trauma or a little T trauma,
mm-hmm.
A breakup, bullying in school, a negative, medical situation that could have happened, right? Someone maybe had a terrible reaction to poison ivy that they ran into and
right.
had to go to the hospital and get medication. And that experience could be traumatic, right? So it can run the gamut from something like that to, lots of adverse childhood experiences.
Yeah.
Meaning growing up with, a parent who had a big problem with alcoholism or, physical abuse or neglect of some kind. Yeah, so it really can run the gamut. I definitely see the gamut in my office for sure.
Yeah, well, I always think of it as a parent. I, will often say in my own household of having four children, how I could say one thing to one child and how that, I sometimes joke about it. I'll say, when they're 30, are they going to be in therapy over this comment? Where the other child will be like, what comment?
What are you talking about? Right, exactly.
What are you talking about? So it's fascinating just as humans, how we internalize that emotion and that feeling and relate it to an incident or a time in our lives or hold it in our body for years, right? So I love that. I love the brain spotting. Speak a little bit to the EFT, which the audience might be a little more familiar with, but I think it's a really useful tool for many people, particularly now as we're in the pandemic and you're, feeling a lot of things at home.
Yeah, for sure. So Gary Craig, who's an electrical engineer, actually, took it upon himself to pull together from all kinds of techniques and, hypnosis and thought field therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy. And what he wanted to do was put together this recipe for people to be able to take with them and help heal themselves and help have emotional regulation. So EFT really kind of views these blockages, negative life events, traumas as getting stored in our energetic body. There's definitely a connection with the brain too. And we use tapping on very specific acupressure points while we're talking to help release blockages in the body that again can lead to anxiety, depression, relationship issues, physical pain in the body, that sort of thing. Just mm-hmm. Tapping's great, right? It's just super portable. You can use it in any way. It's super flexible. If you can just be hanging around at a meeting online at work, and you can be tapping on the back of your hand a particular acupressure point, right, to help
your kids for school,
system. Yep, absolutely. It can be used in so many different ways all over the place. For people who don't actually like the physical feel of the tapping, if they have more sensitivities, you can massage those places.
Mm-hmm.
You can use imaginary tapping, right? You can just imagine tapping around on the points once you know where they are.
Right. Similar to sort of the acupressure points too. I was having another conversation with a practitioner who does EFT as well. And actually it might've been, I think it was an acupuncturist and they were saying that's a fascinating way of looking at our body and knowing that you have these pressure points that you can tap on or, in any given moment to sort of relieve something, some emotion once you learn them.
Yeah, really.
So, tell me then, what is your client base like? Who do you work with?
So I mostly see women. I have a little bit of a range, which is nice and keeps it interesting, but 18 and over. And my age range runs the gamut all the way up to, I have a number of women in their 80s. Folks tends to find me as well. And it's so joyful. I love it. Lots of women kind of in that mid range, I would say like 30 to 55 or so. And lots of times they are folks who have been in therapy before, and they probably have been introduced to some other alternative, techniques, you know, they're familiar with acupuncture, or they have a yoga practice or something like that. So oftentimes they're familiar with something, but sometimes they haven't tried tapping, or haven't heard of it before, or haven't tried brain spotting. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty joyful for me to be able to work with these folks and help people find their recipe, really help people get to their place of wellness and just have agency over it. Right. For us to be able to go to ourselves, mm-hmm. and say, oh, I do have a great bag of tricks here. I do have things to use in this moment when I'm feeling emotional or anxious or dysregulated in some way. That's right. So powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can tell and hear in your voice how passionate you are about what you do. So what are most of these women or your client base coming to you for? What do you find and you attract?
Yeah. I would say lots of relationship issues. Separations, divorces, life transitions, mm-hmm. right? People might be moving, or before we were sitting in a pandemic, it was, hey, I want to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, kind of a thing. And I'm running into some hurdles and blockages. I'm not quite sure how to get there. Or I keep repeating the same patterns over and over, and I'm trying to create something, but I can't quite cultivate that, right?
Right, right.
And lots of anxiety, depression, and again, now, you know, as we've been talking about, even before you were recording, mm-hmm. This pandemic is really just wreaking havoc on folks right now, and we're having to find new and creative ways to take really good care of ourselves and take good care of our families. Mm-hmm. We have to get crafty now.
Yeah. Exactly. Very creative. So tell me, and you touched on a little bit, what's your secret sauce that you bring to the table to really, you know, I could tell you a lot of things about you because I think very highly of you, but I'm going to make you tell us that what you bring to the table in your practice, it's sort of your like, oh, this is my secret sauce. And this is what I think makes me really unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think the use of all of the energy techniques, and I always like to talk about myself when people ask me the question, I'm kind of interesting combination of science mm-hmm. and research and woo-woo. And if you put science and the brain and research and woo-woo together, that's just kind of where it's at right now, I think. Anyway, that's what makes me the most excited and most passionate. So folks come in and they identify their goals, and I want to give them lots of stuff to take with them, all the goodies to take with them, and I encourage them to experiment. Yeah. What works? Which techniques work for you? Well, this worked and this didn't. Okay, great. Pop this one into the bag, right? Let's create as many ingredients as we can for you for health, wellness, and joy. Mm-hmm. In that process of helping them figure that out, we're always identifying where the stuckness is.
Yeah.
And the stuckness is always related to something that happened way back there. Mm-hmm. And that's where EFT and brain spotting and Donna Eden energy medicine come in to help people clear out what is getting in the way, clear out what is adding to their distress, their discomfort, and their dysregulation, right? When we are regulated and we are clear in our thought process, we can cultivate and create anything that we want to.
Yep.
But the most important piece, I think, in summary, is I want people to have the skills to do what they need to do, right? I always say, I don't want you to feel like you have to come see me for the rest of your life.
Right, right.
I want you to take the good stuff and go and be well and say, Jen, I'm done. I feel like I'm done. Great. That's awesome. We did good work together if we got to that place.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's sort of, you know, when therapy first sort of came to the forefront and was a little more accepted, it was sort of that old school. You might be with your therapist, you know, for your life. And I think it's that shift. And that is what obviously, you know, makes you also unique, is that I want to give you the skills. I don't want you to be dependent on coming to me weekly or monthly, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting. I love the sort of the balance of, you know, the piece of what you're bringing in with the energy work and the science piece, because sometimes people enter the door one way, you know, and they're sort of maybe more of a science person, I find. And then what they really leave loving is the energy piece of something, or vice versa, you know? Yeah. I don't want that rigidness, and maybe that's really what works for them. So right.
Yeah. I can just assess what works, what approach might seemingly work best for someone. Is it the science piece or the woo woo? And when I've had some younger men come into my office, maybe the early 20s, late teens, early 20s, the science route is often the way to go, right?
If we start
talking about the brain and they can really dive into that, then they can then become open to using the techniques, and it makes it happen for them.
Well, it doesn't matter, I always think, how one gets there. I mean, as long as it's safe, but how one gets to a spot. I think of this for myself, you know, with my health or something. For me, I'm going to use my health example. I go to Lyme magnetic protocol and the magnets help me to feel better. I don't need to tell the story of how that works or how I got there. If the energy with you and somebody working at 20 something years old and maybe not being completely open to it initially, but if it makes them feel better, right. You know, yeah. Like who's going to question that?
Yeah, exactly. We just want relief.
Yeah.
Right? If figuring that piece out, what works best for you, helps you feel more open, mm-hmm. and more relaxed, then you're much more willing to receive it.
100%. And I think that to that point, Jen, I think the other piece of that in what you do in your work is connection, right? It's like, if you are, to your making the point of being open and feeling vulnerable, being a therapist is a huge job in the sense that you really want to know that you're matched appropriately with your therapist, because relationship, I would gather, would be 90% of it.
Absolutely.
If you're not connected, then you can't be vulnerable and trust that person.
Yep.
And then forget the woo-woo stuff. They're not, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. If we're not a good match, if you're not feeling it when you're sitting on the couch with me and I'm not the right person for you, then absolutely you need to go see someone else, because you'll get nothing done.
You're just going to be spinning your wheels.
What's the point?
Because your neighbor said it's great or whatever, doesn't mean it's right for you.
Right. Yeah. That's why we have, 100 flavors of ice cream. Everybody doesn't like chocolate. It doesn't work for everybody.
Exactly. Well, and I think I was talking to a client about it today, and we were discussing, I think their daughter trying to find a therapist. And I said, listen, it takes time. It's a really thoughtful process that has to go into it, because you can't just assume it's a really important relationship to build, I can imagine. And I know for myself, it has been, and that trust. And so you also can see where for people that is hard to let go of. So it's so critical for you, as you pointed out, to give them the skills. It's like sending a child to preschool. Like, you can do this,
You're good. It's in you. The awesomeness is inside of everybody, right? Yeah. It's just often covered up with layers and layers of negative experiences and our own negative storytelling, our own narrative, right, that we get into. So, but there's always something in there that we'd want to wipe away the dirt,
Layers are thick. The older we get. Well, Jen, I'm so glad we had this time together, because I really miss seeing you in person.
Me too, Charlotte. Thank you for doing all of this and for providing all of the wonderful, wonderful, amazing support that you provide for people through yourself and all of the really amazing practitioners that you have.
Thanks, Jen.
You know how to pick some really awesome people.
Yeah, well, you're one of them. All right, thanks, Jen. It was good to see you.
Thanks, Charlotte. You too. Take good care.